Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Leadership Lean In. We are leaning in. We are improving. We're getting better as promised progress. Thank you for every person that is joining us today on this podcast. We are at episode, here we go, ready? 151 episodes. If you missed last episode, we got some merch that we just put out. Make sure you check it out. And as always, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of our episodes. Leave a comment. Let us know where you are streaming in from, where you're watching from, how you are a part of our, well, let's just be honest, we're a nation. It is what it is. Let us know where you're joining us from. And also leave a leadership question. That's what we're doing today, actually. Today on episode 151, we are jumping into some questions that you, our nation, has sent in. And so we're going to get a little bit better together and go through some question and response. We are not doing Q&A. Guys, that's ridiculous. Who has the answers? We don't have answers, but we have responses. And to the best of our ability, we're going to give some responses and try and tackle some of this stuff. I am joined today by, some would call them rock stars. Other people would call them rock collectors.
That's good.
That's really good.
Wait. I just got the first part.
Can we just start just with the little Nick Saban and then hit me with the Craig Groeschel real fast?
You all may be taking the week off, but I'm not.
That's the energy I'm bringing today. And then?
Well, the habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow.
I stand up and salute every time I hear the voice. This guy is unbelievable. We're bringing that kind of energy today. We're not low energy people around here. We are high energy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go. Overflow continues to change the game. Cutting edge. I've always loved those two words together. Cutting and then edge, because there's like this. Anyways, so Overflow, we are just so in awe of what these guys are doing. It's unbelievable. Their technology and their ability to really create a world, a generous world. They've helped us so much at Zoe, which we get to be a part of, and helped us so much in Leadership Nation, Leaner Nation. I want to encourage you to check out Overflow. Nate, tell us some good details about the good people at Overflow.
Absolutely. Hey, they just had an incredible FlowCon as well.
Yes.
They just had their conference announcing some big things. And that's what we love about Overflow, is they're constantly iterating.
Yes.
They're constantly getting better. They're not just mailing it in. That's a great phrase we use here at Leadership Lean In.
There it is.
But if you want to get in contact with them, or if you feel like Overflow is the next step for giving in your organization, head to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo and get connected with their team.
They just continue to evolve. I feel like the Overflow Con, it's like a state of the union for generosity, per se. Yeah. The Apple keynote for generosity.
Yes.
They're changing the game. We love you, Overflow. Thank you for everything you're doing for us. We love you. Okay, so let's go. What some of these questions?
We just had an exciting IG Live.
We did.
Yes.
And by the way, if you ever see Chad go live, it's probably going to be questions for Leadership Lean In. So you should jump on
probably
there.
Probably.
Prepare your questions now. Have them ready.
Yes. Okay. Here's a question from the Instagram Live. How to deal with troublesome volunteers?
Oh, my gosh. Troublesome. Well, you get rid of them.
Yep.
Get out of here.
You're out of here. You got a daemon. You got a daemon. And you got a daemon. We cast it out.
We should bring excommunication back.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
the Catholics.
Yeah. Cold shoulder, silent treatment. I think, you know, let's be honest. All of us were at one point troubled leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, all of us had tons of issues. I think the idea that you're going to lead and not correct is just so false.
Yeah.
You got to correct. You got to engage. Now, if someone is habitual and refuses to improve or even apologize, take extreme ownership, we've been talking about that, then we got to have more conversations. But if they're a troubled leader, that means that they probably got, you know, some history, some past. I like that line that Colin Henderson uses, trauma, drama, daddy and mama. Maybe there's some things in their upbringing that are causing this. I think the first thing I would just ask you, please don't throw them away and please don't treat them in a way that you would never want to be treated. Thank God for the people that were patient with you.
Right.
Thank God for the people that took a risk on you. And so, you know, what you've reaped, now you have the privilege to sow. And so the great thing about what I've learned about myself and humanity is no one grows up and to the right. Nobody. People grow in ebbs and flows and twists and turns. And so the goal is to be on the long journey with people. And I think in the end, you'll see them win. They might not immediately win, but in the end, I think that they will come around and win.
That's good.
Yeah, and by the way, a troublesome volunteer might be a reflection of a poor culture. If you don't have a strong enough culture, then your volunteers might not have the boundaries to really know how to operate in. And
that's
so they're
right.
going to cause trouble.
And I will say, when you say poor culture, what stands out to me is not that usually it's not that the culture is poor, is that the culture is policed poorly.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to police the culture. So it's you got a strong set of values and you want everybody to live by this, but you got to police that thing. Hey, yeah. Whoa, did you? Nah, yeah. Not going to happen around here.
You know, my kids, we just had daylight savings, and my kids are just wild. They lost sleep, but they can't figure it out. And so it's like, whose fault is it that they're going to be troublesome today? Is it their fault because they're, you know, their sleep is thrown off, or is it my fault because they don't have structure prepared?
That's right.
For, you know, it's, you got to kind of take some introspection as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next question.
Next question is, do you have any tips for strengthening unity in a church staff team?
Wow. Well, let's just say any team. How do you build unity? I think it, you know, everything is connected in my opinion. Nothing is disconnected. So one of the things I think that always helps is conversation, meal, team building exercises, laughter together, celebrating the wins. In other words, it's not like, oh, if you get pizza, you're going to be good. It's like, what?
Yeah.
We got to have like better communication through our emails, better expectations. We got to win together and laugh together and celebrate together. Yeah. We got to eat together. We got to pray together.
Yeah.
You're talking about staff culture. I think prayer is one of those things to me, it like knits us together.
Yeah.
Gets us all on the same page.
Right.
So I think if you're asking that question, it means you're probably a little bit concerned about disunity. And I've found that usually when things start getting ununified, or the unity starts losing, there's usually one or two people at the core of that, and it starts to leak out, spread out that culture of criticism. We're not happy. They did this. They did that. And so I would get to, it's kind of like how, you know, they say in your carpet when you have a snag, if you don't catch it early, it will take down the whole line.
Yeah.
Same thing with problems in teams. If I don't get to the root of that thing early, it's going to take out a whole line.
Yeah.
And so I've got to find what's the source of disunity, if there is, and deal with that head on. Hey, are you frustrated? Hey, are you not happy here? You know, fill in the blank. But unity is the thing.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes when people are not happy, they're not happy with the leader themselves. So that's always the challenge about leadership is like, what am I doing wrong? Do I need to reinvent myself? Am I not coming across the way I want to come across? So I think it's checking a lot of different boxes to get to the source, because the goal is always great chemistry, great relationship, great unity. And everybody's got a touch of frustration. This is hard, especially when you change things up. Sometimes it can be hard, a changing season. But to the best of our ability, you want people to love their life. I find that people, if they don't love their work, they don't love their life. Life gets too hard. So, you know, how can you help? How can you help them? And if you work hard, I think you can accomplish it.
It's really good. I was thinking like a mandatory staff 5K. Okay, I like this next one. What's the difference between happy leaders and healthy leaders?
Is there
a difference?
When I saw this one, because when we were alive, I saw this one, I thought to myself, there is no difference. Healthy people are happy.
Yeah.
You know, like you think about the word blessed, you know, it's to be moving forward. It's to have that ability to take more ground. Happiness is attached to that. I think if you're healthy, you're happy. There's just a natural sense of like, I feel good. Why? Because everything I'm putting in my body is good.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping really good. So if I'm like, healthy things are growing things and growing things are changing things. So I think that maybe perhaps just because it's started to change doesn't mean things are unhealthy. It means that health demanded, health led to growth, and growth means change.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, it's our goal to keep that. I would live petrified if I was like, is everybody happy?
Mm.
Is everybody happy? Are you happy? Anything that's growing has its own set of new demands and new challenges and new things we got to think about, new opportunities. So my goal is not happy. My goal is healthy.
Yeah.
And out of the health, I can model. Yesterday in our staff meeting, the first thing I said, hey, happy Monday, everybody. You woke up with the same thing that we all woke up with, and that is we all woke up with problems.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what we get to do today? Solve problems.
Yeah.
Does that mean that I'm unhealthy, that I got problems? No.
Yeah, right. It's good.
I'm healthy, and I choose to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So happiness is a decision. But I think that the happiest people, you can't find unhealth and happiness.
Mm.
They don't coincide, in my opinion. So what I'm trying to say is, when you get healthy, healthy things are growing things, and growing things are changing things.
Yeah.
So just because there's change doesn't mean it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Do you think that people have, you know, maybe happiness doesn't feel like the goal, but they're upset, they're frustrated, and so just not feeling those things is like a substitute for real health and happiness. And so like we see people try to escape through hobbies or substance or something like that. It's not that they're, you know, that they're happy, but I don't know what I'm trying to say, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like happiness isn't even the goal for some people because it feels so far away.
That's mm-hmm. it. In especially most leaders because they're so driven.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right. What would give you some rush of happiness?
Yeah, a result.
A result.
Yeah.
I think this. How about let's define it this way: watching other people succeed.
Mm.
That should make you so happy.
Reframing your happiness measure. Oh, that's so good.
Watching my kids really play baseball makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Watching Julia crush a her night makes me happy.
Right. I think when you said, you know, if you're not happy at work, you're not happy in life, I think the opposite can be true too. If you're not happy in life, you're probably not going to be happy anywhere or in work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it all, like you said, it's all connected. It all bleeds into each other.
Yeah.
And so maybe if someone's not happy at work, they're not healthy in life.
Yeah.
And so then you have to just address, like, are you doing the things in life that you feel called to do or that are fulfilling that God has placed on your life? Are you getting rest? Are you, you know, all those things.
What's the proverb? I'm totally messing this up, so I'll look to you. But happy are the people when the king leads in righteousness.
Yeah, totally. And there's another one that says Israel was happiest when the leaders led.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's just the bottom line. So when you're leading, again, that's what I'm trying to say. When I'm healthy and leading, I'm not worried about other people's happiness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is a byproduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the only place that I could think of, I was trying to think, like, can you be happy and not healthy? Is somewhere where it's like ignorance is bliss. Someone doesn't know there are a lot of problems, and they're happy, but everyone else is frustrated.
That's exactly right. Next question.
Is it my turn?
I'm sorry.
I can go again. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it's okay. What do you do when you know your leader is faking it?
Yeah, I was wondering about this one. Like faking it. Like to me, the immediately I think about just being insincere, not being authentic, faking it as in like, mailing it in.
Yeah.
That's a great, I love that term, mailing it in. Years ago, I went to a concert and someone that was close to the artist at the time was like, the artist is so tired. They're just mailing it in every night. Mm-hmm. So they're there, but they're not there. They're not giving it full strength. And so they're singing all the songs, but like they're just, it's going through the motions, you know? And I think maybe that's what this person's talking about, going through the motions. That's a tough place to be. I think The reason why I believe in this word disruption, disrupting your flow, disrupting your schedule, disrupting, shocking the body, is because I have to stay fresh and in the moment. And if I'm not fresh and in the moment, everybody feels it around me. Hmm. They go, he's doing another pod, but he don't want to be here.
Wow.
He's preaching another message, but he doesn't want to preach. Hmm. So it's like, how do you stay fresh? How do you stay? We love in culture right now this idea of being present. Mm-hmm. Nobody that's present and you look in their eyes and you can sense that they're actually with you, no one ever say you're faking it. Hmm. Because there's a sense of authenticity. There's a sense of like, well, they're actually here connected with me now.
Yeah.
But when you are not, trust me, everybody's like, they don't want to be here.
Yeah.
They don't want to be here.
But isn't there something, I don't know, maybe noble about knowing a leader? Maybe they don't want to be here, but they choose to be here with a good attitude. Isn't there something like, I feel like with Gen Z, it's like authenticity is the most important thing. You have to be authentic to your feelings, and if you're not, you're a fake person.
Yeah, but I saw Louis Giglio say this last week on the podcast with Levi and Jenny, and he was basically talking about how Gen Z is not happy with anything. It's not just that they're not happy with church, they're not happy with anything. Hmm. And I thought, why? Isn't that kind of insightful?
Yeah.
He's not happy with anything.
Gen Z rocks.
Think about it. Not happy with. So that just bleeds into everything. So you gotta be authentic. Going back to what you said earlier, I don't know if it's about, wow, that's so noble. You don't want to be here, but you're here.
Well, of course. I mean, what I'm saying is like, am I authentic to my principles and my values, or authentic to my emotions?
Right. Because I think like we talk about this like. Everyone has bad days. Everyone has stuff going on in their lives. Like you're not always gonna want to do something or be there, but you choose, you're consistent. It takes effort to, I think, you know, have a good attitude. You've talked about how many days have you come in with a happy, smiling face and had a good attitude when, you know, there's stuff going on. And that's like the responsibility of a leader. And so I think that there has to be some credit given for
Are you being choosing, fake in that moment?
Because is that being fake or is that choosing to lead? Because I think, you know, that sometimes you got to choose to lead when
that's right
you're down, or you know,
that's right.
But you're faking it.
But I don't know. I think there's different ways people can fake
it. That's what I'm saying.
I read like, this question a little differently narrative. And thought about almost someone who like they're not putting in the work and not everyone can see that. Everyone else thinks, oh, they're so great. They're so wonderful. We love them. But there's a group of people who know, guys, this person is not leading.
Yes,
they are putting up a front. They're they're on stage, you know. That's what I think of.
And by the way, everybody's going to find out eventually.
Yeah.
If you're cutting corners, you're mailing it in, you're faking it, we're going to find out. You might have fooled somebody for a while, but eventually we're all going to know.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. What is sustainable is being genuine and authentic. Mm-hmm. Last night I got a call from a guy, and this guy is facing a tough situation where someone is going around texting all these very influential, famous people, basically saying that this guy's a fraud and a scam. Mm.
Wow.
And he's like, what do? I go, don't do anything. Like, what do you mean? Is it true? Nope. Okay. Keep living your genuine, authentic, sincere life. And I've been through enough flack and criticism to know, oh, yeah, what I've learned, just keep my head down, keep being concerned about the things I can control, keep living my genuine, authentic, sincere life, and the rest will take care of itself. So if you do have a fake leader, it's going to get exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm.
I was watching this this TikTok, and I can't remember what organization it was, but it was one of these Fortune 500 companies. And he said the number one thing that took out high-level leaders in our organization was their oversight, taking credit for their work.
There you go.
And it just killed all of the potential
that's
rising up.
Wow.
They all left and went to other places.
Yeah.
Because their leaders faked.
Man, what? Yes, I would name some names right now in hip hop, in fashion, that's true, and people go, they won't tolerate it. People will not tolerate it. So yeah, so what is the goal to answer the question? The goal is to be sincere, authentic, and not mail it in.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that we're very passionate about here at Leadership Lean In, do not delay, but come on, hit me with it. Bole. Bole, 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 bole. Bole, bole. If you need to hire, by the way, if you're looking to hire, a lot of leaders, a lot of leaners are leaders looking to hire. We have a fantastic, unrivaled, they have no equal. Now we're singing songs.
Wow.
The best resource out there to help you in your hiring adventure and endeavor is Belay. They will help you get the right people on your team. April, tell us some details about where we can find out more about Belay, 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 Belay.
Absolutely. Well, to help you get started, Belay is offering a free download of their ebook, Rise Up and Lead Well. Learn how you can spend more time focused on doing what only you can do by leveraging the power of delegation by staffing the right people. Just text LEANER, that's all caps LEANER, to 55123, and we're putting this in the description as well of this episode. Text LEANER to 55123 for your free copy and find the right hire for Belay.
Let's go.
They're going to contact you.
Don't delay. Just Belay.
I love it.
Love it. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, this next one is, how do you create a culture of purpose versus a culture of obligation? Or how do you create a culture of self-starters, people who want to be here versus the people who have to be here?
Wow, that's a great question. I think, you know, if they don't want to be here, kick them out. I'm kidding.
Kind of kidding.
Welcome back.
Yeah, so welcome back. So we believe in kicking people out. Yeah. No.
Damon.
Yeah, Damon.
Cast him out.
You know, purpose, that is the goal. The goal. So how do you, basically, another way to look at that is like, how do you find leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because what's the next part of the question, the second half of the question?
Versus a culture of obligation.
Obligation. Yeah, and I think to me that's why all of leadership can be summarized in spirit and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one rule to work here, and it's your spirit and attitude. If your spirit and attitude is off, you can't be here. And because if your spirit and attitude is right, then it's like, I receive the mission. I receive the purpose. I receive the instruction. I'm excited. I internalize it. It's now my vision and my purpose. But anything that's like obligation, I have to. It's the whole difference between have to and want to, mm-hmm. or have to and get to. That to me is an attitude, and I can't teach attitude.
Yeah.
Either you have a good attitude or you don't. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about attitude, you're talking about ruling your spirit. Your spirit is your responsibility. It is not my responsibility to pep coach your attitude every day. It's not my responsibility to hope that you are responsible to rule your spirit. You either got that or you don't. So obligation to me is like, man, I got to be here until X time. I got to do these projects. I'm obligated to show up. I'm obligated to be. If that is your attitude, you should not be there. You have to have the purpose, and the purpose will follow the passion, in my opinion. Whatever I'm passionate about, there's purpose that's attached there. They're like cousins, in my opinion, like faith and hope are, purpose and passion are. And so the more I get excited about, in to me, this ultimately will determine the success of the team. If you got a bunch of people that have the obligated attitude and spirit, it just starts to affect so many different things. So how do you, we talked about not keeping people happy, how do you create health?
Hmm.
What the goal is health, healthy communication, healthy boundaries, healthy hours, all of it is out of health. If I have health, I have a shot of people walking in purpose. If there is no health, that's when you start getting into toxicity and obligation.
Do you think that's a scalable reality? I think of, you know, companies like Starbucks or, you know, Apple or, you know, basically when you start something, your whole team is passionate, driven, purposeful.
Yeah.
At a certain point of scale, you know, that vision starts to decrease. Do you think that it's inevitable at some point, if you continue to scale over time, you know, say you iterate, say now you're a church staff of 1,000.
Yeah.
Is it a realistic expectation for all 1,000 staff to, or do you just need enough people to be bought in?
No, but let's just use Chick-fil-A in and out, right? Yeah. Which, by the way, are both Christian owners, so let's just use that real fast. But I'm just saying, when you go to Chick-fil-A, do you ever feel like the person in drive-thru feels very obligated and doesn't want to be there, ever? They would give you that
never
impression.
Felt like they're mailing it in.
Mm. Yeah, they're never mailing it in. In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like when you go to In-N-Out, people are like, man, I'm just so obligated to be here?
I have one time, and I felt like I need to call this In-N-Out because this is not their culture.
The exception proves the rule.
It's not their culture. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So whenever there is obligation, you gotta ask yourself, did we do a bad job of training? Mm. Did we do a bad job of communicating our expectations?
Yeah.
Are we not policing our culture?
Right.
Because if somebody just has that bad attitude, they can't be here.
Yeah.
Because we've clearly defined here at Chick-fil-A, this is our purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
At In-N-Out, this is our mission. So it is totally scalable.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just kind of paying a highlight. That obligatory kind of attitude is individualized and can leak into others if you don't police it.
Yeah.
But for the majority, it's like, oh yeah, this is the purpose, this is the mission, I'm with it, let's go.
Yeah. And even if you don't necessarily love every single part of your job description or whatever you're doing at the beginning, I think maybe there's a form of almost healthy obligation, or where it grows into, you know, okay, like I'm going to figure this out and learn this. And I don't know. I don't know. Do you think, is obligation like a bad word, or is there like forms of like, I'm obligated? I don't know. I can't quite decide.
I don't think it's a bad word if it's driven from vision.
Yeah. Cause I think that
when
there's
you feel
also
like I wake up in the morning and I feel like I have to do some things to accomplish what God's put in my life.
Not because you are super passionate about doing them, but because you're obligated to be responsible and to honor the vision.
Yeah.
That's right.
Totally.
I love it. Next question.
Is it me again?
Yes.
Dang it, I keep doing this. Okay. The next question is,
yes,
how do you ask someone you lead with to step away?
How do you ask someone you lead with to step away? I would say don't do that. Make somebody else.
I love all the jokes there. We should do an entire podcast and it's all sarcasm and we just let people decide.
On put April Fools.
Put in the
April
comments
Fools.
Which points do you think are real and which points are fake.
So you need to ask somebody to step away, which is, you know, having difficult conversations. You know, you're going to have them. There's a key to leadership that I heard years ago that I think is very powerful for all of us. And that is, when you correct somebody, can you get so good at it that when they leave your office or leave the conversation, they feel better than they walked in?
Mm.
To me, that requires that big spirit, that big belief in others. So I'm giving you the worst news. I'm letting you go. I'm changing your job description. I'm terminating your contract. And yet they're walking out going like, man, that guy loves me so much.
Yeah.
Man, that guy believes in me so much. Wow. How did they, I feel so good. And then you go home and the wife says, how did it go? Yeah, we lost our job today. But babe, Ted is the best. Hmm. What?
Right.
So it's the art of having difficult conversations. And I think the value is always, what's the end result? The end result is, number one, relationship, momentum in the right direction, a commitment to the long term. And so it's never about this one conversation. It's about the totality of the entire eco at large, and then also the relationship and how to preserve it. So I think you got to have that conversation. You got to part ways. You got to let them go, but do it tactfully. Do it with grace. I don't appreciate people that don't have bedside manner.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't appreciate people that just are harsh, mean, critical, rude. It's like, did you do this just so you can feel better about yourself?
Wow.
Do it in such a way that people feel loved and championed and believed in, and that they got a hope in a future.
That's great.
By the way, did you just quote a book, The Art of Difficult Conversations?
I don't know.
Because that should be a book. You should write that book. And then you just listed out these chapters.
The art
be of... Be committed to longevity. You know, I'm like, you just gave us a book outline. That's so good.
I think just listening to people and talk, you know, reading books through the years of difficult conversations, conflict.
Yeah.
People avoid conflict like the plague.
Yeah.
They avoid it. I don't want conflict. You don't have an option. You're in a conflict.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Dr. Henry Cloud does have a book, and I forget what it's called, but it is something about difficult conversations. It's really good.
Yeah, it sounds life-changing, April. Sounds like you have never been the same since you heard about that book.
Not going to lie, actually, I read one chapter, and then I actually had a really great, difficult conversation right after, and it actually really did change my perspective.
And you're like, I don't need the rest of the book.
I don't need the title. I don't need the chapter.
I read it a few years ago. I can't remember what it was called.
Next question.
Okay, here's a question. How far... Do you finish every leadership book you...
No, never. 75 at best.
Once I get the concept?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, got it.
I don't need the testimonies for this. 75
at best. And I'm 1.25 speed on audiobooks. Yes, I can't do the one. Oh, my gosh. No.
These leaders talk slow.
Yeah, slow. Man.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that last question. If someone were to transition out in... You as kind of the leader of this organization and having been a leader for, how many years have you been in? 25 plus?
Yeah.
What have you learned from people stepping away, how to have a good conversation with their leaders or how not to? You know, how do you combat quiet quitting and how do you honor as you step out?
Mm. How do you combat quiet quitting and how do you honor as you step out? It's all up to them, really. Yeah. I've seen so many, you know, as an employee and coworker, I've seen so many people. I have found that it's very difficult for people to communicate what they actually mean or where they're actually at. Mm. They're just so afraid of the consequences of that. They're so afraid of like honesty. Mm. I think people see honesty as disrespect or honesty as like a sign of lack of loyalty, maybe.
Wow.
It's very rare you see people be authentic to who they are. That's what I have seen and witnessed, which is sad because I don't think that's ever really on the. It's rarely the recipient or the boss, the leader's fault. Mm. It's the insecurity and fear of rejection or fear that the truth will hurt somebody.
Yep. Mm.
I think that's miscalculation.
Yeah. It's like, how many times have we heard, I feel led to this, and then they leave and they don't do that. So that really what you're saying is, my time's just done here.
Yeah, but people really struggle to communicate. And I think that, by the way, I love that we keep talking about everything's connected. I find that the reason why people can't say that to their boss is because they can't say that to their friends. Mm-hmm. They're not honest with themselves.
Jeez. Wow.
They're not honest in their community.
Yeah.
And so how could they be honest with oversight?
Right.
So I don't get good at being awesome at oversight. I get good at being honest with me and others.
So good.
I see confession the same way, by the way. When we confess problems, issues, patterns, there's three areas. I got to first confess between me and God. So that's a me thing, right? Mm-hmm. Then I confess with my community, my friends, covenant relationships. Then I confess with authority in my life.
Yeah.
But I think that the reason why people don't deal with authority well is because they don't deal with anything well.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good.
So that for me, that's why I don't ever take it really personal because I'm just like, oh, you don't know how to live. You're not an honest person.
Yeah.
You don't know how to process those honest feelings. So I think that people have a disconnect between where they actually are and what they're saying or where they actually are and where they're actually going. They don't know where they're going a lot of times. They just know, hey, this is done. This season's over. But fill in the blank for where everybody's at in their own individual journey. But I think if you could give anybody the gift, think about this. Go back to confidence and security. If you give anybody a gift, give them the gift of security.
Yeah.
Because then you could be honest.
That's great.
Because you're coming from strength.
That's so good.
But most people are not strong enough to be honest with their friendships. I'm not strong enough to say you let me down. Mm. I'm not strong enough to say you disappointed me.
Jeez.
Mm. I'm not strong enough to say I'm offended.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
Hey, and the best leaders that I know, communicators, they will tell you that.
It's great.
Yep.
They'll hit you with the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth, what is the proverb there? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah. Faithful are the wound. If you got a good friend, they'll hurt you. They'll hit you in your stomach. You disappointed me there. I can't believe you let me down.
And they'll tell you that in a way that says,
"Yeah, I love
you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Committed
as well.
To you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yep.
Of course.
That's really good.
I love that. Okay, it is my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just can't keep track. Someone is asking, what is the biggest challenge of leading a family?
The biggest challenge. Yeah. So many personalities and dynamics and different stages of life, you know, where my 6-year-old's at, not where my 10-year-old's at. And my wife is changed, you know, in 15 years of marriage, 20 times. It's just figuring out the season. The difficulty of leading a family, in my opinion, thus far in 15 years of marriage and, you know, 4 kids, my oldest is 12, is that it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
Constantly being in tune with where the needs are at right now. Mm-hmm. You know, last night I spent probably an hour with my 8-year-old in bed talking to him because I feel like he needs it right now.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just always being in tune with what does the home need? What does the family need? Serving the needs of the family. Sometimes like we got to get away. Sometimes like we need to have people over. Mm-hmm. Right. What is the need of the family? It's
really good.
So I just think it's the demand of you know, even fighting for unity in your family. Mm-hmm. That whole thing, sibling rivalry. Mm. What's the best thing I could do for my boys? Love my wife.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ferociously and that's model what a gentleman does and how we treat a queen. So I just think the demand is constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's every day.
Yeah. By the way, you can read all the books and none of the books will address your family.
That's right.
Mm. And no matter how many kids you have, you've never had that many kids who've been at those ages. It's like you've never... Having a family is doing something every day you've never done before.
Yeah.
And it's that constant change and adjusting and,
yeah,
learning and having grace and forgiveness. And
you know, I heard Bishop Jake say years ago, he's talking about, you know, how could one child be raised in the same house and go off and do X, Y, and Z, and one child serves the Lord. And you look at some parents and you go, man, did they get it all wrong? They were praying and loving their kids the same as the family that, you know, raised some, you know, warrior for Christ. So what's the difference? He said, grace. Mm. And so I think, you know, what I've learned coming from a family, you know, my parents raised 3 kids. All of us became senior pastors the same year. And all of us love God and we love our family. And that's pretty successful. And so, of course, I'm trying to emulate that. What did they do so I can do that with my kids?
Right.
Not the pastor part, but the love God and love family part. And I can even conclude in my own home, you know, like, man, this is the grace of God.
Yeah.
It's just God being really good.
It's a whole gap you can't make up for.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's God. So let's do last one.
Okay, I got last question. Who you got for the Masters this year?
Ooh, I already answered this on the IG Live. I'll answer it again. His first name is Ricky, and his last name is Fowler. Find him in all orange on Sunday at the Masters. He's going to be coming around hole 16, the par 3, birdie, 17, par, 18. Ooh, beautiful approach shot, and par again. And we'll put on the green jacket this year. Let's go.
When is the Masters?
It's 2 weeks after
Easter.
Easter. Okay, no, the week after Easter or 2 weeks after? It's in April.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I was trying to think if when this episode comes out, if it will have happened or not. And it won't have.
No, it won't have happened. But I'm prophesying it right now.
Amen.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
We love you. Thank you for your questions. We'll go live soon, probably in a couple weeks, and we'll find out more leadership questions. And we love you. We're for you. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Let us know a leadership question. Maybe we'll hit your leadership question right here on YouTube or anywhere you can leave us a comment. We love you. Have the best day.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, We're going to learn all about God's big story and how he shows himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.